All righty. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Yeah. So, as you guys know, this is the tail end of our prophecy conference. Our speakers, we just want to hang on to them as long as we can before we let them go. So, Patrick Wood, who we heard from twice yesterday at the conference, is going to be teaching this session. And it looks like a great topic, the blanket attack on God's creation. Wow, I'm looking forward to this. So let's welcome Patrick Wood.
We don't need to change anything on the setup here. It's just wonderful because we're about the same height, almost. I'm so glad to be here this morning. I really am. So nice to see you all, your smiling faces as well. This is a different presentation for me, I think, at this point, because, well, it's kind of a new thing, but this has been on my mind, and it dovetails into my first two sessions at the conference, and that is how God's creation is coming under attack. Specifically, we talked about transhumanism, we talked about technocracy. Those are evil things for sure. This may be a little bit more basic when we consider exactly why the devil is doing what he's doing in the world today. We're savvy to his schemes, right? We should be. We should be able to see his schemes. We're not going to get involved in them. Yep. Yes, sir.
I just make adjustment real fast.
Okay. Okay. Work it. Good. So we should be certainly aware of his scheme so we can take action when necessary, at least to explain people in the world what's going on. I think you'll see this as a tool that you can use to engage people in conversation. So let's just get into it. I've got 40, 45, 50 minutes, looks like. And if I can get this going there, oh, cool. I just love this setup. I lust when I I'm a tech guy, right? So I said, oh man, this screen is, oh, just love it, love it. So these are all my books and stuff. I won't go into them at this point, but you take note. I didn't mention the other day that I have a prophecy, or it's not a, I have a technocracy, like a boot camp on e-learning, and that's the QR code there. So here's my proposition. The world system, which is governed by the God of this world, not capital G, right, has declared war on every physical element of God's creation. This system is dominated by technocracy, transhumanism, and in a minor sort of way, environmentalism as well. So let's just take a look. Who owns creation in the first place? Well, we have to make this distinction for sure, because we have the physical creation, then we have the system of the world. The people usually overlap that, and rightly so, I guess. But we have to understand that the creation belongs to God. It's always belonged to God along the way. Here's a few verses. You get the idea. I just threw Isaiah 45:9 into the mix here. Woe unto him who striveth with his maker. Well, that's yeah, 45:12. Says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all the host I have commanded. Then Isaiah 45:18 says, For saith the Lord, for thus saith the Lord, that it created the heavens, God himself formed the earth and made it, he has established it. And he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. And I am the Lord, and there's none else. From there, we know that Haggai, for instance, says 2:8, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine," saith the Lord. This is a picture of ownership, if you will. He's never left the creation to other entities in the world, especially the devil. When Psalm 50 comes along, it says, "For every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. I know the birds, all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine as well." So I compare this now in the system of the world. On this hand, the creation, the physical creation, you, these chairs, this podium, all the physical stuff in the world belongs to God. Not us. It doesn't belong to us either, but it belongs to God. So when you look at the alternative world, or the other side of the world, who owns the system of the world? That's the distinction here. The system of the world, this is something that is in control of the devil. It's called the kingdoms of the world, alternatively. And the trouble that we're dealing with in life is not because of creation, it's because of the system of the world. It's orchestrated against us. It wants to kill us off if it could, if you will. So when John 12:31 comes along and says, "Now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out." This word, world, is cosmos. You might recognize this. The root of this is cosmetic, right? So all you women, not the guys, we don't wear makeup, but you gals put your makeup on, right? This is cosmetic. You're changing the look of your face, perhaps a little bit. Not too much, but, you know, make it pretty for us guys. But when you consider how the world is made up now, we talk about putting lipstick on a pig, basically. But nevertheless, this is how the world is organized. The cosmos is the arrangement, the orderly or chaotic arrangement of the world. And we see it again in Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, that's Jesus, of course, and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. The kingdoms of the world is the cosmos, not the physical stuff. The devil didn't offer all of the physical world to Jesus. He already had it. He was the author of creation in the first place. It's his creation. But all the kingdoms of the world, this is what was offered to Jesus. My guess is, I'm extrapolating here, I'm sure, but he probably was thinking as mine. Maybe he had a side conversation with the devil. You can't take, I don't want it, basically. You've corrupted it completely. And in any case, I'm going to crush it one day on your, you know, and you won't have it to give it to me at all. So when he talks about the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, yes, the kingdoms of the world can have glory of a sort. We like to look at the billionaires on TV and all the stuff that they have, you know, and the cars, the race cars, stuff like that. There's sort of certain type of glory, right? And saith unto them, unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." So the devil made this proposition: all this stuff that I have, all this possession that I have, the system of the world, orderly or chaotic as it is he's going to give this to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "Nope, I'm not going to bite." So now let's just consider the end time church at this point. I believe personally that the church, as is described in the book of Revelation of Laodicea, probably represents the end time church. Now, having said that, the scripture is very clear that we're supposed to read all the letters to the churches. All of them. They read them all at that time as well, but we should all read all the churches, a letter to the churches. So, but this one in particular really strikes me, struck me for years, how this could happen, what was going on with this church, because the sad truth is, this church in particular, Jesus is found on the outside of that church knocking to get in. How is it possible for a Christian church that has a cross on the door? Maybe they're talking about some aspect of the scripture inside. How can a church put Jesus outside the church and nobody noticed? And till it's too late, he's knocking on the door. He said, open the door and I'll come in and sup with you. Well, what would happen here? Listen to the description on how Jesus displays himself to this church. Every letter has a description, a partial description of Jesus, and this is no exception. But we look at that as the first part of every letter from to start the discussion, if you will, about that church. So the revelation that's given here of Jesus is a clue where this church erred. Okay, listen, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Now, you have to read into this for sure. Why would Jesus want to explain this to them? Why would he display himself in his image here with these particular words? I will suggest to you, number one, the words of the Amen. There's a tendency in the hurt church today, not this church, I'm sure, and not all of you for sure, there's a tendency in the church to not consider the Amen. When Jesus says amen to something, he means it. You're supposed to put the period at the end of the sentence. There's no further discussion at that point on a point of order, because if he says amen to it, that should be the end of it for us, for Christians, right? So then further, he's the faithful and true witness. There's there's such a deception going around in the church today that Jesus has not told us all the truth that we need to know. And he's not faithful to give us all the truth and all the true witness, if you will. There's other things that we can witness with our own eyes. Some churches say that, and they have their own experiences, whatever. Well, that was our experience, so that must be true. I'm sorry, that doesn't work this way. This church, he said, we're not going to talk about the errors that he, like being blind and naked and all that kind of stuff. That was really ugly, but they ended up having Christ out of the church. But it's a very prosperous church. So the truth, the faithful and true witness that we have with Jesus Christ, is he really the faithful and true witness to us? He's not just an eyewitness, he's the only faithful and true witness. So if there's anything, I don't care what it is you might have on your plate, if it doesn't line up with him, you can count it. You should put the amen at the end of the sentence at this point. Say, well, if Jesus said it, that's it. If he says that's what I should do, you should go do that. There should be no question. So the last part of this description, the beginning of God's creation, that always just puzzled me. Why did he bring it up here? Well, somewhere along the way, these people got an idea, and they were very prosperous people at that point in this church. They were rich. They thought they were rich. She said, "You're not rich. You're poor, born and naked. But they had all the money, the physical wealth of the world, if you will. And they thought maybe it was their possessions, not God's. Just think about that for a minute. They thought it was their possessions, not God's. That was a fatal error, because they, as the text says, they ended up being poor, naked, and blind. So we're going to talk now about the creation issue, and this is in the Christian sense, and then we're going to talk about it in a worldly sense as well. So what I want to talk about now is the attack on creation, because it occurs to me that the devil has made a practice of attacking every conceivable aspect of God's creation. Well, we know he's after the Jews continuously. He's also after Christians as well. To trap Christians into sin and whatever, and he can certainly cause harm to Jews from anti-Semitism around the world. We see he's operating in the system of the world all continuously to trip us up, to destroy us. And it doesn't really matter if you're Christian or a Jew, you will experience trouble with the world. Jesus said this himself. He said, I came into the world, and the world basically mistreated me. It's going to mistreat you as well. So that's no surprise at all. But the physical creation, we need to see the devil's not just dealing with us here in the system of things, the cosmos, the makeup of the world, but he's also attacking the physical creation. This gives Christians for sure pause to make sure they're not in that camp to make an attack on creation, physical creation. That would be like sticking your finger in God's eye. So this is a very important subject for Christ, or he would not have represented himself in the first place as being the beginning of the creation, right? So let's just consider, we'll just walk through them. You maybe have some ideas of your own, but let's just walk through all these. I've got several things that I just made a list, and wow, I just kept getting longer and longer and longer. but consider the attack on work. You'll see how this plays in just a second. AI, as we know, is displacing workers all over the world. In our country as well. You know, when God put Adam on the earth, he said, you're going to work for your food, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow, and it'll be hard for you after the fall. And it was before, it would be wonderful when he just was told to tend the garden. That was, you know, no weeds, no stickers. It would be a wonderful thing. All plants would grow, and you'd have lots of food and stuff without sweating it. But we know after the fall, it kind of changed. Yeah, you're still going to work for your food, but by the sweat of your brow, and so be it. You'll get along, but nevertheless, this is baked into man to work. You take a man's work away from him, you have a shell of a man. The fact that the first thing you ask somebody when you meet him, normally, well, what do? Right? That's what you say. Well, that's not being condescending necessarily. That's what we do. We identify with what we do, and we're proud of what we do because that's what God has given us to do. Right? So the attack on work these days with AI to displace workers is really an attack on God's creation, because who created us? And by the way, are we part of God's creation? Yes, we are. Who do we belong to? God, right? So he owns us outright, if you will, right? Okay, so let's look at the next one. Big thumb, there we go. Now, consider the attack on food. Food comes from the earth, right? That's part of the creation. And all of a sudden, we have we see all around us. Some of you can, you ladies can raise your hand. Probably you understand the attack on food. When you go to the grocery store and you try to look for something that doesn't have GMO material in it or whatever. And so now the emphasis in the world, with all of the technology and the science around it, lab grown food is on the table all of a sudden. You have meat, fake milk, you have insects now, they're growing larvae and crickets and who knows what else, like Klaus Schwab said once upon a time, eat the bugs. You know, so this is not consumption for humans, but nevertheless, they're promoting a food supply for the human race now that's not based on what God gave us in the first place. This is a direct attack on creation. Consider the attack on water. We need water. Obviously, for we can't live more than what three days without water, I think they say, longer without food. But there's been a decided attack on water because, you know, since the beginning of creation, there's not been one drop of water lost to the world. This is the same amount of water now is the same amount of water we had back then. We had the oceans, the rivers, whatever. We had the hydraulic cycle. The vapor goes up, forms clouds, and the rain comes down, goes to the rivers and the ocean, into the water table, etc. We have the same amount of water today. There should be no scarcity of water. What happened? There's a scarcity of water everywhere now. They say, well, we have to conserve water. No matter where you are, you have to conserve your water. In San Francisco, once upon a time, they said they were considering that humans need something like 42 gallons of water a day. Well, most of you have much more than that. But they said, well, we're going to limit your water. We want to limit your water just to that amount of water. Just, you know, there can be quota for everybody. That's insane, because there's not a shortage of water at all. So scarcity has been a big deal. Now, the other aspect of that is, of course, we have the pollution of the existing water. That's caused by the system of the world as well, but not necessarily intentionally, but it's overly represented as being a problem. Well, because we have this polluted water over here, you have to take care of this other water over here. Well, how about just take over, get rid of the problem over here, then we have lots of water. This is not in their mind. Okay. consider now the attack on energy. I don't know if you're struggling with your utility bills these days. I know you have a number of data centers, AI data centers in your area. They're sucking out power and water nilly-willy. And they're telling us it's necessary for them to suck the power out of our power grid so they can fuel their AI data centers. This is what they say. Of course, they're the billionaires, so they can do what they want. But the attack on energy is expressed mostly on the war on carbon. Some of you, I'm sure, have some understanding of the battle against fossil fuels. Texas has probably the biggest fuel, fossil fuels. That's an oxymoron, but that's another story. But I understand you have the most prolific energy sources in Texas, natural gas, oil, we could probably power the whole world for 200 years, with what you have right now. But the war on carbon has been declared. Fossil fuels are bad, and coal, forget that. They say that's fossils as well. And oil and natural gas, you say, well, that's all bad. We have to have this other type of energy now. We have to have energy like solar panels, windmills, stuff like that. This is a direct attack on carbon and energy itself. Well, why would the devil want to do that? For one, it limits economic activity. We're supposed to be fruitful and multiply in the earth and be productive with our time and stuff. We have energy to help us to do that. So there's a decided war on energy. This is not going to go away either. So then how about the attack on the sun? The sun itself, just imagine that. Now this is not a problem for the devil. The devil, he understands the sun. He probably has looked at the sun for thousands of years. I don't know, but he's able to travel the universe, I'm sure. But the attack on the sun is just over the top egotistical to think that somehow this business of geoengineering condemn the sun on planet Earth to stop the sunlight to hit the Earth and to warm us and help food to grow, that all that stuff. Geoengineering right now is just a big thing. I think all of you have probably seen the jet trails in the sky. Along the way, don't throw rocks at me. Those are not contrails, most of them. But there are other things that are they're spraying into the skies in order to dim the sun. Well, this is the devil doing. You know, it's not people necessarily. Well, it is people doing it, obviously. But we can't explain it other than, well, who would want to dim the sun in the first place on planet Earth? That'd be a clever thing the devil figured that out, right? So, let's consider then the attack on dominion over the earth. Well, when God gave the earth to Adam in the first place, he said, "Now this is going to be your dwelling place. Take care of it. Tend the garden." Whatever that meant, we just can only speculate a little bit what it was like before the fall, but after the fall, for sure, we can make some speculations what it was like. The resources of the land produced timber, gold, silver, the cattle, the food for the beasts of the field, and the beasts of the field themselves provided food for the people. And those resources were under the control of man. They were given to man for their protection and their sustenance, right? Well, sustainable development came along in the 1990s and said, that's all over now. We're done with that system where you are going to be managing the world, things in the world, the resources of the world. We're going to take that over for you and manage it ourselves, and so you don't have to worry about that. Because in their mind, this is the lie that the devil put in their mind, you people out there, you're selfish, you don't know what you're doing, you're ignorant, you screwed things up along the way, and you should be punished, and if not, you should just have this stuff just taken away from you altogether. You see the reduction of property rights everywhere today as well, where you're the property that you used to own, like in the old days, 50 years ago, for instance, you owned property back then. You had certainly property rights, the right to farm, the right to develop real estate projects like shopping centers or development like houses, whatever. It was your property. Well, those days are basically gone because property rights have been stripped one by one, very subtly, but we find today we're not in the same boat as we were back then. So the sustainable development nonsense has been a direct attack on the dominion of man to manage all these resources. Okay, we have the attack on wealth. It's not wrong to be wealthy. I wish, you know, I'd make a great billionaire. I'm sure. But no, God has other plans for me for sure. you know, there were plenty of examples of people in the Bible that had wealth. Job, for instance, had herds of cattle and sheep and timber and gold mines and all that kind of stuff. That wasn't wrong. God didn't call it sin for him to own things in the world. But because God is the owner of all these things in the first place, he's able to give them to whoever he wants to give them, right? And some of you might be fabulously wealthy. Others of you might be just poor as dirt, you know, dirt. But that's not the point. The point is God is able to direct his resources to whoever he wants to have it. And so at this point, the concept of wealth, that's over. In the minds of the global elite at this point, they're figuring, well, we're going to take the wealth away from the people and the nation states, and we're going to put all this wealth, the resources, into like a public trust, if you will, and we'll manage that trust for you, and you'll be happy. You remember when Klaus Schwab said a few years ago at the World Economic Forum, by 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Are you happy yet? Well, we're on the way right now. The attack on wealth is going to be by replacing what we used to know as currency, dollars, yen, whatever, Swiss francs or whatever. Now you have this concept of tokenization coming in with AI, blockchain, cryptocurrencies, stuff like that. This is going to replace the monetary systems of the world. Tokenization is something that's never been seen in the history of the world, but now the value of a real asset, maybe a car, a property, maybe a whole state or something, the value of those assets can be lifted out with tokenization away from the title, and it can be traded anywhere in the world, like stocks almost, but you can trade those tokens anywhere in the world. And there's also a scheme to tokenize humans as well. That's another thing, but that's kind of disturbing for sure. And so along with tokenization, the concept of property rights also is going to be going away, because property rights are not being left with the people. Property rights are going to be encased with these tokenization systems of the world. That's a direct attack on wealth. And the end of it, say over a period of maybe 10 years, 5 years, maybe even 15 years, the population itself will have its wealth degraded, if you will, to the point there is no wealth at all left over for the people of the world. And you have to consider, no matter what kind of a scheme comes along in the meantime to kind of remove property rights from you, there will be a time in the future where all property rights are going to be removed from us altogether. this America was made on property rights, by the way. If we didn't have property rights in the first place, we would not even be here with a free market economic system. This was essential for our economic value progress over the centuries. And so private property is just not only necessary for our own, like we'd like to have a house that we can count on, a car that we can count on, et cetera. But the attack on wealth, this is the system of those physical resources that God has been in control of. The devil is removing this from society worldwide. Then we have the attack on the population itself, the population of the world. I hope we don't get this video taken down anywhere by saying this, but this business of COVID and mRNA, this was definitely an attack on the population of the world. And people kind of complain in America, well, who's doing this, you know, who's doing this to us in America? Was it all America in the first place? Well, Pfizer was based here, and some people say, well, the military did it, or Trump did it, or whatever. It doesn't matter. But you have to consider that 72% of the world population, 72% of the whole population of the world had one or more COVID shots. Who orchestrates that kind of thing? Obviously, it wasn't a nation state that did it. It wasn't our military that forced everybody in the world to get a shot. And so who had that kind of authority? Who had that kind of influence over the population of the world to get this to get on board with these shots? And many people have been harmed by that. I won't go into that either, but we know now that it's still killing people, put it that way, still. So there's been an attack on the population itself, and that attack, by the way, is still going on. People are still dealing with the effects of what happened of that. Personal story, my... when I had a heart attack 3 years ago, I had a heart bypass surgery. And when I was on the table, they said I had a bleeding issue. The doctor didn't explain it anymore. You wonder if he slipped or why did I have a bleeding issue in the first place? Well, they said we have to give you a unit of blood. And you sign your life away when you go in if they have to do that. Well, I guess do it. Don't let me die. Well, they gave me a unit of blood, and I didn't think anything about it. I was glad to be out of the hospital, and here I am now. But four months later, I had a massive stroke. That concerned me, obviously, but we didn't connect the two until I saw a study about a year later. A peer-reviewed study came out of Japan. It wasn't talked about in the United States, by the way. It's totally buried here. But I saw this study, and it immediately clicked. What happened to me was, and this is the subject of the study, was that tainted blood, in other words, vaccination blood, the people were giving blood supply to this blood supply at that point. I was given blood that had vaccine in it that caused my stroke 4 months later. The doctors, of course, refused that even to listen to that, but nevertheless, when I saw the study, it was a peer-reviewed study. I looked who was doing the reviewing. Wow, I just blew me away. Well, they nailed it as far as I'm concerned. So all that to say, this battle to it, the attack on humanity itself is ongoing, and we should be expecting more of the same in the future. Because we talk, well, the devil wants to get rid of all the Jews in the world, or we talk about, well, the devil wants to get rid of all the Christians in the world. That's true, But, you know, if he could figure out a way to get rid of all the people in the world, that would be just fine with him as well, because that would spoil God's plan. Really, really, just get rid of everybody. That won't happen, by the way. Okay. The attack on gender. Gender is part of the creation as well, because God made them male and female. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, right? So this whole business of transgenderism is an outright attack on creation, the order of things that God set in place in the first place. Transgenderism is also an expression of transhumanism, which I talked about yesterday. We didn't talk about transhumanism, but anything that has the word trans in it, that's part of transhumanism as well. Because people, the proposition is this: if you don't like who you are as a person, if you don't like the body you have, if you don't like your sex that you have, that you're born with, well, you can find ways now to get out of that condition and make yourself over into something else. This is the whole premise of transhumanism and transgenderism, etc. So the attack on gender is worldwide. It's not just in our country, it's everywhere in the world. And so people are reassigning their identities. Maybe they identify as, you know, males being females, or females turning into males, whatever. It's very complicated, for sure. but the attack on gender is totally confusing the world, for sure. It's chaotic, chaotic. And then they have the attack on the air. I probably should have put the air at the top of the list here with the water. But the attack on CO2 is just absolutely off the wall. We're carbon-based units as people. When I say we're carbon-based units, that means you breathe out CO2 with every breath. You're part of the life cycle that God has put in place. When the plants give us, they take our CO2, turn it into oxygen, give it back to us so we can breathe the oxygen. Then we breathe out more CO2. Why is there an attack on CO2? Does that make any sense to anybody? I just don't get it, how anybody can think that that's a good thing to do, to say CO2 is a poison gas in our atmosphere, and we have to get rid of it. There's carbon sink plants that are being set up around the country and Canada as well to take CO2 out of the atmosphere, put it into a pipeline, pipe it to other places in the country or another continent even, and put it into the ground permanently so it can't escape anymore. A farmer, tell the farmers in the Dakotas and Wyoming, they understand. I think there's one coming through Indiana. But, you know, this is crazy. Not only is it hard on the farmers themselves, but they're building these pipelines to put the carbon dioxide out of our atmosphere, and that's the stupidest thing in the whole world that anybody could do. Somehow the people of the world, the secular people in the world, think that's just a great thing until they don't have any more oxygen to breathe, I guess. We'll figure that out in the end. But this is definitely an attack on the air itself. Okay. Attack on genetics, genetic material. Every living thing in the world has a genetic structure. That's part of life. How did God do that? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But he saw it fit to make genetic code the basic structure of life. So you have the animals, and you have the fish and the seeds in the ground and the plants that grow and the people that are in the world as well. Everything in the world now has been genetically modified. The process has started, put it that way. Seeds are obviously almost all crop seeds have been modified in some way in the genetic lab, if you will. You can look on most packages in the store now and find out if something has been genetically modified. It says GMO right on the package. This is an attack on genetics. Why would the world be concerned about genetic structure of anything? God gave it in the first place, but what man is saying at this point, well, we can do better. God did good, but we can do better. Actually, they deny God mostly anyway, but I'm just saying, God did good, but we can do better. So the race is to, at this point, as AI kicks in and the way they can modify DNA and change the structure of things, as that advances as well, there will be more genetic modifications going on all around us, and it's affecting us as well. The genetic modification experiment in the whole world was probably with the mRNA vaccine structure, because that directly affects the way your body processes proteins. And they discovered after the shot was released, everybody at the first said, oh, it doesn't change your genetics at all. It has no capability of changing your genetics at all. Then they discovered a process called reverse transcription, and they figured out, oh gee, sorry, but yeah, it really could change your genetic structure, and it could even change the germline. Okay, well, you should have told us that before, guys, before you distribute it to 72% of the world. But the devil's pretty clever, isn't he? You know, he figured us out. We didn't see it coming, but he saw it coming. So the attack on genetics is just egregious. Think how God thinks about this. When he talks about, he in the Laodicean church, when he talks about he's the beginning of creation, do you think this grieves his heart? I think so. That's why he's jealous for his creation. The attack on land, we just talked about this, property rights. The land is supposed to be what gives us our food, our shelter, that sort of stuff as well. let's see, the attack on speech, that's something else. That's part of creation. When Adam and Eve were able to speak immediately, the concept of free speech in America, and it's in our Constitution, it says it's part of the unalienable rights we're supposed to have, or we do have. But the right to speak your mind is something I think we had from the get-go. Even if it's wrong, we have the right to say what we want, what we have to say. Now, everything is about propaganda. Everything is about narrative control. It's everywhere in the world. I mean, you can't miss it. It's bombarding you all the time. The attack on family. Wow, that's legendary at this point. Cultural Marxism, for instance, has just made a mockery of the family. Families have been ripped apart, and families can't provide the shelter anymore for young people. Then we have the attack on death itself. You know, death that came after the fall, but for sure, death became a part of creation. So the plants die. The animals die, the seeds die, the humans die. That's part of the what we have to deal with today, right? Death is everywhere. Not anymore. For the transhumans in the world, they think, whoa, death is just like a disease, like cancer. And if we can conquer that disease, well, we will be free of death. We won't have to die anymore. I showed some charts yesterday to show all the billions of dollars that have been put into this business of transhumanism and escaping death. Well, they're not going to escape death. We know that nobody's going to escape. Take Henry Kissinger, for instance. He loved the idea that he could live forever. He missed it by a few years. he's in where he's now. It's a dry heat, all I can say. this has captivated the world, this whole concept of transhumanism, because people are latching onto us when they have the fear of death on their mind. This is an answer for them. Oh, there's hope. There's hope for me that I might be part of the generation that finally figures out how to get rid of death altogether. Then there's the replacement of God altogether with AI now, and this is sweeping the internet. If you haven't seen it, don't go looking for it. Believe me, I'll just tell you not what it is right now. But the concept of AI God is basically replacing God altogether. Well, AI is going to be omniscient. It's going to be omniscient, and it's going to be everywhere because you have an app on your phone. You carry it with you. There's lots of qualities of people saying, "Well, AI can replace God altogether." For some people, already it is. Lots of people are carrying these apps in their phones, on their pockets. That can give them spiritual guidance and sage wisdom, if you will. It's not the wisdom God gives, but nevertheless, people are buying into it. They go, well, I don't need God, and my God is going to be over here. There we go. Okay. I want to look just briefly at Revelation 6:12 and following. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun and moon became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell to earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken with a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled up together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. What do you think is happening here? Does this sound like the system of the world, the cosmos, or does this sound like things relating to creation? I would suggest creation, right? These are things like that. Well, earthquake, that's part of creation, that God shaking the earth. The sun and the moon became black. The moon came as blood. The stars of heaven fell to earth. Well, that's obviously that's creation. The heaven, or the part of the scroll, whatever that means, and the islands and the mountains, all of this is part of creation, right? Just consider the irony here. Of course, this is looking into the tribulation period, maybe about 3 years in, perhaps. But consider these verses now, following this. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, that's everybody, I think. Everybody's included now. They hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. That's part of creation as well. And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? All of a sudden, these people today, and you figure, well, if the rapture happened today, we have about 3 years to get to this point, to a total attitude change. Now just consider what the whole world is saying at this point, that there's a God in heaven. He has a face. He sits on a throne. He has a lamb, a son, and he's really ticked. For his wrath has come. Who can stand? This is an interesting thing to me, because all of a sudden, all these billions of people today that are saying, out with creation, out with God, whatever, all of a sudden they get it. By the way, most of these people will go on and harden their heart. But at this point, the point of recognition is on the table for these people. So it's really interesting to me where we see the whole world realizing that God is the creator. He has the right to control his creation, and he has the right to judge his creation as well, right? So in the end, well, these people that are doing all this stuff to the world as the minions of the devil, they don't see the devil, but nevertheless, they're the useful idiots of the devil. They'll figure it out in the end, but by that time, it'll be too late for them. And it was all centered on God's creation in the first place. Amen? Let's pray. You could pray.